All right, open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, for the message this morning. Philippians, chapter 4. I want to speak on one verse this morning, verse 19. And so we'll just read one verse of Scripture, Philippians 4, 19. Many of you probably have this verse already memorized, but let's look at it this morning and pay real close attention as I read. Pay attention to every word that is written. And there are so many wonderful truths connected to this promise, and I don't want you to miss it. Let's look at verse 19. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need." Notice that. All your need. Singular. Not needs, plural. Need, all one big package. Everything you need, God has it. You with me? All right. Now, you know, some verses are just so simple that we tend to just read them and shoom, just go right by them and not stop and think about what's being said. And what a promise is this. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You think anybody could put a dollar amount wealth on the Lord? Psalmist said He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And if He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, you can be assured He owns the taters under the hills. And my God shall supply all your need. Now, as I was preparing the Wednesday night Bible study, which we're doing, taking a book, the next book each night, each Wednesday night, and as I was studying, preparing the lesson on Philippians, I saw something in this verse that I wanted to develop a message around and speak to you this morning. We read the verse, and I want to kind of veer off the verse a little bit, take its truth and apply it in a specific manner. There are many different ways, I think, that this verse could be applied. How I want to use this morning, and you probably read this and go, "I don't know how in the world you're going to get to there from here." But I think you'll see it in just a moment. You know, one of the things that God abhors and despises is idolatry. God hates idolatry. As a matter of fact, one of the commandments in the Ten forbids idolatry. What is idolatry? Well, that's anytime you substitute God. When you put something in God's place, that's idolatry. And God doesn't want that. Why? Because your God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say, "Well, I'm not an idolater." Well, won't you listen to the message and then we'll make that determination. I told the early service this morning, I said, truth of the matter is, we probably all ought to get up from our seat, come to the altar, and confess our sin of idolatry. If the truth were told, every believer ought to just come, get on his face, and say, "Lord, I'm sorry that I have put something else in Your place in my life." Idolatry is real. It is not something in the direction I'm going to take this morning. It's not something that you sit down and make a conscious decision, I'm going to be an idolater. No. But nonetheless, we do it. And I'll explain to you how we do it in just a moment. So that's the title of my sermon this morning. I'm not an idolater. I'm not an idolater. All right, you got your guard up now? All right, let's pray and end the message. Our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. Thank you for the beautiful music we have heard this morning. Thank you for the promises that we stand on. Thank you, Lord, for always being there, no matter what we have to endure and what we have to go through. We need you, Lord, and we're so thankful that you're there to supply all our need. One great big package, it comes from you. And Father, I pray that you will bless now as we look at this verse, and I pray the Holy Spirit will bless in a great way and touch our hearts and just show us ourselves in the light of Scripture. And Father, may you be honored and glorified in all that we say and do this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Verse 19 is an amazing truth. There are so many areas of our lives where this verse can be applied. I want you to notice, just look carefully at the verse for a moment, and let me just highlight a couple of things. I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul does not say that God will supply all our wants. Doesn't say that. It says that God will supply all our need. And notice that it does not say needs, plural, but it says need, singular. That kind of shows me that whatever it is I need, God is the answer for it. God can take care of whatever I need. He made me. He made you. He knows every thought and intent of our heart. So if He knows all about us, He certainly knows what our needs are, and He meets those needs as our God. One great big package, our need. God is the supply source for whatever you and I need. Now, let me ask you to look very carefully at the verse, and then I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer the question. I want you to answer it out loud. And it's important, at least for me, I think it is, it's important that you answer this question and answer it aloud, because it's the foundation upon which what I'm about to say is going to be applied. So everybody look at verse 19. And I want to ask you this simple question. Now, it's not a trick question. I'm not setting you up. So please just answer the question as you understand the question. Answer it. It's a one-word answer. It starts with a G, and it ends with a D, and it has an O in the middle. And so everybody out loud, answer the question. You ready? Who supplies your need? God. Very good. You did so much better than that first early service this morning. You should commend yourselves. You would have thought I was asking them for the theory of relativity. I mean, seriously, they looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. What? What? All right. So simple, is it not? But my God. Now, don't go tell them all I said that. They'll be mad at me. Too late. Yes. It is so simply stated. And again, I think it is possible for us to take these simple little promises, these little simple things, and just read over them without thinking about the great truth that is being stated by the Lord. So let me ask you one more time, just to make sure you've got it. Who supplies our need? God, exactly. Now listen, folks. Most of the problems that we have with personal relationships could be totally done away with if we would simply recognize this truth that is stated in this verse. God supplies our need. For example, here's a wife, and she is totally depressed. She's discouraged. Her life is in turmoil. Every day is a chore. She is unhappy with everything. I mean, unhappiness, you can see it in her face. You can see it in her actions. Her joy is gone. Her spirit is gone. And soon it affects everything that is her life. It affects her children. It affects her husband. It affects everything. Everything is impacted by her discouragement or her depression. And then one day she is with a friend, and she confides in her friend. She just is so tired all the time of everything. And so she confides in her friend who cares about her and loves her. And she says to her friend, "You know, I just don't know what is wrong with me. I just don't know what is wrong." And so they talk back and forth, and this friend, genuinely out of concern, genuinely out of trying to be a help and an encouragement, brings the subject around because she doesn't have any answers. She doesn't know why her friend is discouraged. She doesn't know. And so trying to help and with no malice in her heart, just trying to help, she blurts out and says, "Well, what is going on with your husband?" Well, as soon as she hears that, the wife goes, "Oh, yeah, there's the problem. Yeah, that's it. You see, that's the problem. Listen now, my husband is just not meeting my needs." I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in my 37 years being a pastor. I cannot tell you, it's countless times. "My husband is just not meeting my needs." Now, wait a minute. Wait. What does verse 19 say? "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Folks, it's God's job to supply your need. Let me give you another illustration. A family comes to church, and they get to know a few folks that sit around them. They come on a regular basis, you know. They don't necessarily get involved, per se, but they're in church, they're there. And over time, something happens. One of the kids has a run-in with another kid. Yeah, it's called life. It's called growing up. And it happens. And so the kid has a run-in with another kid. Or maybe one member of the family is overlooked, or maybe they're slighted in some way, or maybe something is done or something is said and they get offended in some way. Now, over the next couple of weeks after that offense has happened, what you're going to find is the offense turns into bitterness. And with bitterness comes a loss of joy in the Christian life. And then they're sitting around the table, and the father looks over and says, "You know, I'm just not real happy in that church." And the wife looks over and says, "Well, you know, I've been thinking the same thing. You know, honey, the church is just not meeting our needs." Now, wait a minute. What does 4:19 say? Who is supposed to supply your needs? God is, not the church. And folks, I could go on and on and on, giving you illustration after illustration, where we have trouble with other people, where we have trouble with family, where there are difficulties between husband and wife, between parent and children, or between children and parents. And the list just goes on and on. And the simple truth is, so many of us practice idolatry all the time, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. Where we are sitting on the outside expecting others and expecting people and expecting our loved ones and expecting our friends and expecting our church to meet our needs in life. And that's idolatry. Because right here in this 19th verse, Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need." You see, we make idols out of our friends. We make idols out of our spouse or out of our children or out of our church or our pastor or our job or our boss, you name it. And we expect them to do for us what they are incapable of doing. They cannot meet your needs. God is the one that meets your needs. We want our friend, we want our spouse, our church, our job to supply all we need in life. And folks, it's not their job to supply you with all you need. That's God's job. Plain and simple. Now listen very carefully to this. It's not fair for me to put you in a position to do what you are incapable of doing. It's not fair. It's not fair for me to say that my happiness depends on you. That's not fair. For happiness does not come from you. Happiness comes from the Lord. It's just not fair. It's not fair for me to say that my joy depends on you. These things are God's job, not my job, and they're not your job. And if I am depending on you to do for me what is God's job to do for me, that is idolatry. Plain and simple. Now, just two thoughts this morning. Number one, I want you to understand beyond any question. Number one, my needs in life can only be supplied by God. Oh, do I want you to get this? Unless I am reading this verse completely wrong, and I don't think I am, my Bible tells me that God supplies all my need. And I am preaching this morning to folks who are battling depression spells, you're battling discouragement spells, folks right here this morning who have fears and anxieties, folks that need what God has and is willing and more than able to supply if we would just come to Him for our needs. For instance, God wants to give you supply you with peace. You know what the Lord Jesus said about this? In John 14 and verse 27, the Lord Jesus said this to His disciples. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And then He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Where does peace come from? Jesus said it comes from Him. The Lord said He's the one that will give us peace. And you know, peace is something that very few people seem to have in our world today. We fret and worry over everything. Everything. But wait a minute. Let me ask you, are you saved this morning? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Are you a child of God? Well then, all right, who supplies your need? God does. God does. And what we need to do is understand where our peace comes from. Folks, the reason that so many people are without peace today is because we look at our world and everybody, you know, the liberals all say, "Oh, the world's getting better. We're all evoluting to a higher level." No, we're not. We are devoluting. We are not getting better as society. We're getting worse as society. And we look at society and want society to give us peace. Folks, it can't happen. But the Lord can give you peace. The Lord can give you a peaceful heart. In Isaiah 26:3, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, Isaiah said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You see, if you're trusting a government, oh my, you'll never find what you're looking for. You'll never find peace. If you're trusting the party, the powers that be, you'll never find peace. But the Lord can give you peace. You see, what we do is allow our minds to be upon others, and that is when we lose our peace. Someone mistreats us. Someone doesn't do what we think they should have done, and so we let someone else's behavior control the way we feel. And that, my friends, is idolatry. Our minds become stayed upon that person and not upon the one our minds should be stayed upon. In other words, we make idols out of others. And it's no wonder we don't have peace. Listen, if we don't have a daily walk and personal relationship with the Prince of Peace, how in the world are we going to find peace? We're not, because this world can't offer it. "But thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Folks, the way to peace in your life is to trust in the one who alone can supply you with peace. And I just think that it's time that we quit making idols out of our friends, and we quit making idols out of our family, and we quit making idols out of our spouses, and we quit trusting in others to meet our need and get in fellowship with God and get our nose in the book and trust in what God promises us in his word. But notice, the whole key to this thing is a right relationship with God. You know Psalm 119:165, everybody knows that verse. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Nothing. Nothing. And I'm telling you, folks, we get out of sorts over the most ridiculous of things. Hey, I hate to break this to you, but as you go through life, you're going to get offended. It's the nature of the beast. But what do you do with that? Does that, when you get offended, are you done spiritually? Are you done? Shouldn't be. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now, folks, think about it. Let's get back on track here. Think about it. The key is to be in the Word. The key is to be growing. The key is to be learning the way of truth. But think about it for a moment. It is not fair for you to put on your husband what only God can do. Your husband is not God. Now, he may think he is, but he's not. And you know that because you don't have any peace right now. But wait a minute. He cannot give you peace because he is not God. Only God, the source of peace, the Prince of Peace, can give peace. And guys, listen, men, it's not fair for you to put on your wife what only God can do. It's not fair for you to put on your church what only God can do. It's not fair for you to put on anybody what only God can do. None of us here is God. Several years ago, I was down preaching in North Carolina, preaching for a friend, a guy I knew well. And it started a Monday night revival meeting, Monday through Friday revival meeting. And he was standing here, and I was standing in the chair beside of him. We were singing the opening song of the night. And when we started singing, he was holding a songbook, and he leaned over to me and he said, "Do you see that guy with the gray suit, gray hair and glasses, standing over here by the piano. And I looked over and I said, yeah, I see him. And here's what he said. He said, that man is ruining my life. I didn't say anything. I just kept singing. And then he looked at me like, no comment. And he looked at me and I said, what? He said, did you hear me? That guy's ruining my life. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, you're an idiot. Now, he's a friend, or he was a friend. And he said, what? I said, you're an idiot. What do you mean by that? And I said, you will let one man ruin your life? You're crazy. When I pastored at Dixie, there was this little woman. She wore a hat every Sunday, every Sunday. And in the spring, she always had something coming out the top of it. It was either a feather or a flower or something, but she wore a hat every Sunday. And I could tell how I was doing by which way the flower was moving. Shame on you for letting anybody ruin your day. Shame on you. Folks, get your peace from God. Don't let somebody ruin your life. Don't become an idolater, and your day is determined by somebody else. No, you get alone with God and you get right with God and you get the joy from God and the peace from God and get going for God and don't worry about what somebody else does or does not do. I don't understand why we let people bother us like we do. Because you see, folks, the neat thing is you can apply this to any area of your life that you want, because it doesn't matter what you need. Paul says that God can supply all of whatever you need through Christ. Joy, happiness, contentment, forgiveness, strength, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, love. I mean, God is all of these things, and God will supply you with that you need for the asking. Now, if all that I just said is true, and I think it is, then that should naturally cause us to ask this question. Number two. Second point. What, then, is the purpose for relationships? What's the purpose? I have a preacher friend. I have, bless his heart. When he was young, he was in his 30s. He was young. That's young. When he was in his 30s, he pastored the same church right out of college, just pastored a church. He'd been there 15 years or so. And he went in one Sunday and fired the choir. Now, he's from down south, and he said, I fired the choir. But he just walked in one Sunday morning, and as the service started, he turned around and he said, you're all dismissed. Go sit down. And he fired the choir. And boy, when he told this story, we were cracking up laughing. It was hilarious. And of course, we said, did it split the church? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, but I fired the choir. I said, my goodness, why did you do that? He said, well, it was gossip, and this one didn't like it because this one got to sing the special, and they just, rah, 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 rah. He said, I just shut it all down. Now, folks, listen, we very well cannot just walk around, mouths closed, blinders on our eyes, not speak to one another, not have friends, not have relationships, and live our lives that way. There is a reason for relationships. You say, well, if I talk to so-and-so, I'm going to get upset. So I'm just not going to talk to them. There's a reason that we have relationships. We all have friends. We all have family members. We all have folks that we go to church with. So what role do all these folks play in our lives? All right, here it is. Listen. Relationships should enhance our lives. They enhance our lives. A friend should enhance your peace, not be the source of it. You see the difference? A friend should enhance your joy, not be the source of it. I mean, when a friend does not enhance your peace, then you still have peace. They weren't the source of it. God, if God is the source of your peace, doesn't matter what your friend does, negatively, harmful, it doesn't matter. You still got peace because your peace does not depend upon them. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose you wake up one Sunday morning, and it's an unusual Sunday morning. The sun's shining. There's no ice anywhere. You didn't have to shovel the car to get it out. And when you came in, or when you came downstairs, breakfast was on the table and it was hot. And all the kids, for some reason, sat down and ate everything. No fights broke out. It was awesome. And you ate your breakfast and you got ready. And are you ready for this? When it was time to leave, everybody had their coats on and were ready to go. I know, shock, right? And then you went out and you got in the car and the car started. All the tires were inflated. The heat actually came on. And nobody slammed their fingers in the door. Oh, it was a great morning. You made it all the way to church and World War III did not start. What an awesome day. You parked the car and there was a spot close to the door. I'm telling you, it's a glorious day. You didn't have to go park back on the back 40. And you got the wind just died down as you got out of your car and started walking towards the door. It was amazing. Birds were singing. Oh, it was a great day. And you got inside the door, and lo and behold, you run into Pastor Shutt. Now, you've already got the joy of the Lord in your heart. Man, it's been a great morning. Praise the Lord. How you doing, Pastor Shutt? And he starts talking to you, and he says, oh, I got something I got to tell you. And he tells you a funny one. You're laughing your head off, and down the hallway you come, and you're thinking, man, I love my church. Praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful for my friends, and thank God for Open Door, and I love my pastor. He's the greatest preacher in the whole wide world. And then you run into Holbrook. Now, what you don't know is Pastor Holbrook has had a cold all week. Now, I'm just making this up. You don't have a cold, do you? So I'm just making all this up. But let's suppose you run into Pastor Holbrook, and he's had a cold all week long. Oh, he hadn't slept well. And he didn't sleep good last night. And so when you ran into him, he's a little grouchy. Okay, just a smidgen. And you said something to him, you're all joyful and happy, but you said something to him and you didn't get the reaction that you were looking for. And so you said, well, what's your problem? And he kind of flips you off a little bit, you know, and he walks away from you. Oh boy, now you're mad. And you walk away and you think to yourself, who's he think he is? And all of a sudden, that joyous spirit that you had a little while ago, it's gone. And when I get up here and say, open your Bible, you just sit back here and say, I don't know if I want to listen to this or not. And the Holy Spirit comes knocking on your door and you shut the door on the Holy Spirit. You see, the truth of the matter is, folks, a lot of us lose it right there. That's where we lose it. Why? We are practicing idolatry. We are letting somebody else who is a sinner saved by grace, just like us, we are letting somebody else determine how we're going to have our day. Put your focus on the Lord. Folks, listen, I don't know if you realize this or not, but every one of us that sit on this platform, we are sinners saved by grace. We are people. You slap us, we hurt. We put our britches on one leg at a time, just like you. We have feelings, we have emotions, we have aches and pains, we have sorrows and disappointments. We're just like you. And you know, a lot of times, if you are looking at people, you will see what you want to see. You remember the little nursery rhyme? Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, what did you there? I spied a little mouse under her chair. Have you ever thought about that? Why did the mouse see, or the cat see, a rat? Why? Because he's looking for a rat. Cats eat rats. There's the palace, there's the queen, there's the throne, there's the jewels, there's the draperies, there's the whole nine yards, and that stinking cat goes over there and sees a rat. Why? It's what he's looking for. And you will see what you're looking for. Folks, don't let others govern your day. When we let others affect us and our behavior, that's idolatry. Every believer in this building needs to make up your mind right here this morning that you are not going to let someone else ruin your day. God is the one who supplies your need. And it is time that we quit being idolaters, and it's time we quit making gods out of people and out of our spouse and out of our children and out of our friends and out of our pastors, and let God be God in our lives. Now, I'm just going to be blunt, all right? Let me tell you something, folks. Listen. If you're not happy, it is not your husband's fault. It's yours. If you're not happy, it is not your wife's fault. It's yours. If you're not happy, it's not your church's fault. It's yours. And what we need to do is quit the idolatry and quit looking at others to provide our happiness. Get on your face before your God, get your nose in the Bible, and let the Lord give you a happy heart. And again, this applies to every need you and I have in life. You need peace, freedom from anxiety and stress. Your family, listen, your family cannot provide that to you by tiptoeing around the house while you're there. That's not where your peace is going to come from. A mother, how many times a mother will get the children together just before the old grump comes home from work, and she'll say, "Now, kids, listen, your father will be home soon, and you all know that he works so hard, and he's got a lot of pressure on him, so nobody bother him when he comes home." Oh, that's no way to live. That is no way to live. What old grump needs to do is get his heart right with God. What the old grump needs to do is get his nose in the book and find some promises that he can hang on to so that when he comes home, his family and his children see Jesus in him instead of someone to avoid. And woe be unto that person that doesn't provide what was ordered from the throne of His Royal Majesty. Folks, that's no way to live. No way to live. That's no way to have a home. That's idolatry, pure and simple. You are asking others to do for you what only God can do. Why don't you try God's way? It works. Try God's way. He's generous. You remember what He said over in James? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That last little phrase means that when you come and ask God for wisdom, He's not going to scold you for asking. I was sitting there the other night, and I was thinking, I'd like to have a bowl of ice cream. It was about 9 o'clock, and I knew, in the back of my mind, I knew that Karen was going to want a bowl of ice cream about 9:15. So I sat there, and she got up, started toward, I said, where are you going? Get some ice cream. Oh, get me some. You've been sitting here, haven't you? I said, yeah, I have. And I was grinning. Now, she got me the ice cream. But here's how I got it. You lazy thing. You are so lazy. Here. That's how I got it. I got it braided. I got it braided. Isn't it neat to know that God will not upbraid you? You can go ask, and He'll just give it to you. What a wonderful God we serve. And God can only and will only supply our need. But folks, it's when we're looking to Him and to Him alone. He despises idolatry. He despises it. I will often have folks say, all right, Pastor, bless my heart with the message this morning. You're asking me to do what I can't do. Now, it's not my job, bless your heart. My job's to preach the Word of God. But it's God's job to bless your heart. Let's, so many areas to apply this. And it's just unfair to put on me or to put on your spouse or to put on your children or to put on your coworkers or to put on anyone else the burden of living our lives in such a way as to do for you what only the God in heaven can do. You know, I made up my mind years ago. I had a real conflict when I was in my 20s. Long time ago, I was pastoring down at Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, West Virginia. Oh, just a kid, green as grass. Green as grass. And we had a conflict come up. And when that conflict came up, it was either learn it or get out of the ministry. And I went alone, got alone with God, got alone with my Bible. And that was where the first time that I saw this verse the way I think Paul intended it to be looked at. And sitting by the Kanawha River, late one night, which is just a couple of miles from our house, sitting by the river, that verse became real to me, and I made up my mind. I made up my mind that day that I am not going to let any man, any woman, any Christian brother or sister, any preacher, any Bible college, any evangelist, any deacon, any church member, any missionary, any saint or sinner, any demon or angel, nobody is going to steal my needs that are supplied by God. And I think that's why I'm still at it today. I just decided I'm not going to let anybody determine how my day goes. I've tried to live by that. It is hard to live by that. I have not always been successful. There have been times where God's had to remind me, hey, you remember what you promised me that night down by the river? You remember what you said? You remember what I taught you and what you said you were going to do? And I've had some real personal, intimate conversations with the Lord about who's running the show. So I told you when I came here 18 years ago, first Sunday I was here, I don't know the three of you that were here, but I told you the first Sunday, I said, look, folks, look me dead in the eye. I am not going to fight with you. I told you that. I'm not going to fight with you. Case closed. I'm just not going to fight with you. Now, if you want to fight with me, that's your business. But I'm not going to fight you back. And there have been a lot of people who have tried to fight with me. And when they saw I wasn't going to fight back, they eventually left. But I don't want to be your idol. I don't want you looking to me and making your happiness revolve around me. No. I want your happiness to be given to you from the only one who can genuinely give it to you, and that's God. Amen. But my God shall supply all your need, all your need. Let that be your prayer this morning.